Live sport, the latest headlines and top debate. This is The Grill, live from Barasti with Tom Urquhart on Dubai Eye 103.8.
4001, you listen to The Grill, broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. St. Patrick's Day weekend celebrations, and they are celebrating at the moment, that's for sure. I'm not sure how much Crystal Palace fans are celebrating at the moment. Injury time over in the FA Cup clash between Watford and Crystal Palace. Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, it's not looking good. We're into the third minute of added time. It is Watford against Crystal Palace, and I can tell you it's Watford 2, Crystal Palace 1. Etienne Capoue gave the Hornets the lead in the first half. Michu Batshuayi, the Belgian, levelled things up just after the hour mark. But the substitute, Andre Gray, has stepped off that bench. 2 minutes he was only on the field for, and he scores what looks to be, what could well be, the winner for Watford. I said earlier, I'll say it again, this, a chance for revenge for Watford. They were beaten by Palace in the semi-finals 3 years ago. This is a chance for them to book their semi-final place at the expense of the Eagles. Into injury time at Vicarage Road, it's Watford 2, Crystal Palace 1.
Alaves has smashed Huesca in the early game in the Spanish La Liga. They beat them 3-1 on the road, so well done to Alaves there. Real Madrid against Celta Vigo is next up. Early kickoff over in Italy as well. Sassuolo just got underway against Sampdoria. 6 minutes on the clock, no goals there. A penny for the thought of a Leeds fan at the moment.
Indeed, yes, a lot of them in Barasti this afternoon, Tom. I can tell you, 18 minutes on the clock at Elland Road. It's second v third in the English Championship. Leeds United, a packed house at Elland Road. The natives were out, an expectant crowd as well, up against their Yorkshire rival Sheffield United. A little bit of a smash and grab thus far, though. It's Leeds 0, Sheffield United 1. Liam Cooper, the big centre-half for Leeds United, it was his mistake that allowed Billy Sharp, the Blades skipper, to pounce on it. He laid the ball into the path of the midfielder Chris Basham. A wonderful, cool, calm, calculated little finish into the bottom corner. Casilla, no chance. Marcelo Bielsa, there he is on his honchos. He is chewing wildly. Little shrug of the shoulders there as well. He is trying to fathom some way to bring Leeds United back into this one. Sheffield United, though, under Chris Wilder, organised, disciplined. They've done a number on Leeds in this one thus far. It is Leeds United 0, Sheffield United 1.
South Africa have been dominant in the one-day series against Sri Lanka. They continue to be so today, 166-47 with 8.5 overs remaining. That's the Sri Lanka score as it stands at the moment. So South Africa keeping up their good form there. What's happening in the rugby, Mark Archer?
Yeah, 10 minutes to go in the first of today's three matches in the Six Nations Championship. Super Saturday is started in Rome, and 10 minutes remaining. Can Italy get back into this match? They trail by 6 points to France. France lead 20 points to 14. It's all Italy on attack at the moment, penalty after penalty. They can't breach the French line, so they've got another penalty here. They're looking to either kick for the corner, and then they'll try and get the ball rolling and see if they can bundle themselves over to get back into this match. So 10 minutes remaining, France 20, Italy 14. It's going to be a cracking last 10 minutes.
There is plenty going on. We're trying to keep our wits about us at the moment, and we're also looking ahead to action from the Premier League. Three games from the Premier League for you this afternoon. You'll hear all the goals as they happen right here on Dubai Eye 103.8 from those 7 o'clock kickoffs local time here in the UAE. Bournemouth host Newcastle, Burnley against Leicester, and our feature game, Chris McCarthy, is?
It's West Ham United against Huddersfield Town from the London Stadium, and I'm delighted to say we can now cross live to the UK capital because our good friends at TalkSport are standing by, and it's John Anderson who is with us this afternoon. A very good afternoon to you, John.
Hello, guys. Hi.
Great to have you on the line, as it always is, John. FA Cup, Emirates FA Cup, of course, will be taking an awful lot of people's attention. We have just seen full-time Watford 2, Crystal Palace 1. The Premier League, though, is on this weekend. Three matches. You're at the London Stadium. West Ham against Huddersfield. What's the mood like? What are we looking forward to in this one?
Well, I think the mood amongst Huddersfield fans, quite frankly, is one of resignment. There's no possible way, surely, that they can survive. They've got 8 games left. They're 16 points adrift. I think Jan Sievert, their manager, sensibly has gone on record this week saying, this is a long-term project for me. There's no way that I can manufacture a miracle. I mean, to be honest, I don't think if Pep Guardiola was manager of Huddersfield now, they would stay up, quite frankly, even if he took over. So, you know, for the Huddersfield Town supporters, supporters, they're loyal supporters. It's a great traditional club. They will want to come back into the Premier League. Of course, they survived last season against all the odds. They were among the favourites to go down. But with 14 points from 30 games, with only 17 goals from 30 games, there's no way that they will survive. So for them, I suppose it's a trip to the capital, hoping that maybe they can get a point, as they did against West Ham in Yorkshire earlier this season. As regards West Ham United, well, there's pride to play for. I mean, cast your mind back to the beginning of the season. The Hammers lost all of their first four games, and a lot of people were talking about them as being the sort of whipping boys potentially of the Premier League. But Manuel Pellegrini has steadied the ship. They're in a comfortable ninth position. I think they'd like to finish top 10, West Ham. They haven't done that for a while. So, you know, it's a game where Huddersfield are hoping against hope, and West Ham probably believe with a good, decent current home form as well, that they can probably tip Huddersfield further towards being confirmed as relegation candidate.
You're absolutely spot on, John. I don't think there's any the most hardened of Huddersfield Town fans would tell you that they're staying up this season. It's a rebuilding job there. What of West Ham? What have you made of West Ham? I think I said at the start of the season I was excited. Manuel Pellegrini's appointment was a bold one. They've made some wonderful acquisitions as well. In terms of their progress, are they where you expected them to be, or have they just a little bit flattered to deceive somewhat?
Well, you know, the thing about West Ham, as I mentioned earlier, they got off to that awful start, didn't they? I mean, you know, no points from their opening four games. It's been quite a comeback in a sense for them. They look like a team to me that could potentially push on from this. I like Declan Rice, obviously, the young holding midfield player who's made so many headlines because, of course, he's switched his allegiance from the Republic of Ireland to England and is in Gareth Southgate's squad for the forthcoming European qualifiers against the Czech Republic and Montenegro. So he could make his England debut. He's got the wise old head of Mark Noble alongside him as well. Manuel Lanzini is back from injury, and Felipe Anderson and Marco Arnautovic, who starts today, by the way, are all creative players, as is Mikel Antonio. So it's a nice-looking West Ham United side today. They've got Antonio Arnautovic and Felipe Anderson and Lanzini, who are all creative, behind them Rice and Noble. I think West Ham potentially should be a top 10 team every season, really, given the size of the club, its supporters and its tradition. But, of course, the dreadful start that they got this season didn't help them whatsoever. But they've had a few good last laps. They're vulnerable away from home, but at the London Stadium, certainly, which hasn't always been a happy home for them. They, at the moment, won their last two games there, look as if they're... they're a team that should finish top 10.
I want to get your thoughts on the UEFA Champions League quarter-final draw in just a second, John. But yeah, just finishing on the West Ham Huddersfield game, you can see anything but a home win today?
I would say unquestionably a home win, possibly 2-0 or 3-0. I don't think Huddersfield Town, well, no, actually, Huddersfield Town have not scored in six away games in all competitions. That is a pretty staggering record. They haven't scored an away goal this calendar year. It's 452 minutes since they scored at Manchester United in the league, and I can't see them scoring again today. I think West Ham will win 3-0.
West Ham to win 3-0, and what of this UEFA Champions League draw? If we assume, John, that it's an absolute gimme for Liverpool, given what they did to Porto 12 months ago, 5-0 in aggregate.
Well, I'd never go as far as to say any Champions League quarter-final would be a gimme. What I would say is that Liverpool supporters will have looked at the other seven teams and they would be absolutely delighted to meet Porto, who arguably are the weakest of those four teams. That said, Porto are a useful side, but you're right. I mean, Liverpool thrashed them in recent history. So, yes, I think Liverpool will be there. I think of the four English survivors, there's no doubt at all that Liverpool have got the nicest draw, if you like, the kindest draw. As for the others, it's rather more complicated. But, well, Liverpool, let's face it, Liverpool will be gutted if they don't make the semi-finals for the second season running.
What about Manchester United against Barcelona? We've discussed that tie at length already today. But Barcelona will start as favourites. Manchester United, for you, do you give them more than a puncher's chance?
Well, I do. I mean, they don't have a very good record against Barcelona, although, of course, ironically, it was at the Nou Camp where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wrote his name into Manchester United folklore 20 years ago. They've obviously lost two finals to Barcelona since then. I don't think Barcelona this season are perhaps quite as strong as the teams in 2009 and 2011, where United were very much second best in both of those finals. They do obviously have Lionel Messi, and when you've got him in your team, anything is possible. It's the same with Juventus and Cristiano Ronaldo, as we saw. A hat-trick for Ronaldo in midweek, a double and two assists for Lionel Messi. Those two players are quite simply head and shoulders above anyone else in Europe. So United are going to have to deal with Messi. They're going to have to deal with Suarez as well. Maybe defensively, Barcelona probably aren't as strong as they have been in recent years. It'll be difficult for United, but they've got momentum. You know, that win against Paris Saint-Germain is an extraordinary achievement for United. It really is. Nobody gave them a chance at 2-0 down. It's virtually unprecedented to come back from a 2-0 home defeat and win a European knockout tie. So they'll believe they can do it. There's no question about that. They've had to switch it, of course, because it clashed with Manchester City. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has said he actually prefers having the second leg away from home. And, well, they proved it in Paris, didn't they, that when that happens, they're perfectly capable. So I would agree that Barcelona are favourites, but I certainly would not consider Manchester United big underdogs by any means. You know, if they get a good result at Old Trafford, it'll be very interesting.
And finally, John, before we let you go, I've got to get your thoughts on the All-English tie. It is Spurs against City. These two teams will meet, I think it's three times in the space of 10 or 11 days. Quite remarkable. City will start as favourites, undoubtedly. Do you give Tottenham a game? What did Spurs need to do in order to cause an upset in this one?
Well, I think Spurs will have to be at their absolute best, and they're not at the moment, certainly domestically. Brilliant performance in the Champions League against Borussia Dortmund, but their domestic form has been poor. We talked about Liverpool getting the dream draw. I think Tottenham, frankly, have got the nightmare draw, because not only are they playing another English club, which has its advantages, I suppose, in that you know each other well, but on the other hand, it's not something that certainly fans particularly want. And in the English team they've drawn Manchester City, who I personally think are very capable of going all the way and winning the Champions League. They've got such an extraordinarily good squad. They made absolute mincemeat of Schalke in the previous round. They're the top scoring team in the Premier in the Champions League this season, and I would be very surprised if Tottenham Hotspur were to win that game. They've never reached the final, either of those two teams. I don't think Spurs have even reached the semi-finals. They got to the quarter-finals 10 years ago, inspired by Gareth Bale. But I think Manchester City, it won't be easy, obviously, because Tottenham are a quality side. They'll need Harry Kane to be at his very best. They'll need Dele Alli at full fitness and at his very best as well, and Christian Eriksen. But I think that's Manchester City's game for the winning.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you on that front as well. You talk a lot of sense, so you do. The voice there of
you're
John
very
Anderson.
Kind.
No, don't be silly, John. There's a reason you're doing what you're doing. You are our match commentator, our featured match, Dubai 103.8, courtesy of our partners at TalkSport. 7 p.m. kickoff. It is West Ham against Huddersfield. For now, John, have a lovely afternoon and enjoy the match.
Thank you, and you.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
All right, let's start with the rugby. What's happening in the current rugby before we preview what's coming up in the rugby? Mark Archer?
Yeah, only 2 minutes remaining in France have done and dusted this match. They've just gone over for their third try. I can't see who the scorer is, but that will take them out of sight. Italy had the opportunity when the score was 20 points to 14. But I can say that the French try now means that they've extended the lead to 25 points to 14 with conversion to come. And it looks like they will win this match. Italy will lose a 22nd consecutive match. It's not good enough for them, really. And France will come away and salvage some pride out of the Six Nations title. But
they had their chances, though, didn't they?
They had their chances. They were banging on the line. France went down to 14 men with a man in the bin for a cynical sin. From a rolling maul down to 14 players, and Italy just couldn't find a way. They also had a try disallowed. The Italian went over the line. The ball was dislodged by the French tackler, so it was a fight resulting 5 metre scrum. But This try with only a minute remaining for France means that they lead with the conversion to come. 25 points to 14. They will win the first of today's three Six Nations matches.
I asked a penny for a thought of the Leeds fans about 5 minutes ago. I'll give you a quid for some Leeds thoughts now. Chris McCarty.
We're into the 97th minute of this football match. Leeds United are pushing for what would be a priceless, potentially golden equaliser. That looks to be it, though. It's into the hands, and there is the full-time whistle. The away fans are celebrating in the far corner of Elland Road. Chris Wilder and his Sheffield United side have done a number on Leeds United today, so they have. They have beaten Leeds. They leapfrog Leeds into second place in the Championship. We are just 8 games away from the end of the campaign. There's a bit of argy-bargy at the end of this one as well. Dean Henderson, the Sheffield United goalkeeper, on loan from Manchester United, just having one or two words to say to Tyler Roberts, the number 11 for Leeds United. Leeds not happy, but Chris Basham and his second half winner, it's turned out to be the winner. The only thing to separate these two teams, what it has done, it's ensured that Sheffield United a point clear of Leeds in second in the Championship, a point behind Norwich. They go to Rotherham later today, a win there for the Canaries, and they will be 4 points clear at the top of the English Championship. It has finished Leeds United 0, Sheffield United 1.
Just a reminder that Watford beat Crystal Palace in the sixth round of the FA Cup a little earlier on. Swans against Man City is the next game for you in that tournament. That's at 9:20 this evening, and then stay up nice and late to watch Wolves against Manchester United at midnight tonight. In other news in the world of football, 3 games in the Premier League. Burnley have made one change for the visit of Leicester as they look to pull away from the Premier League relegation places by virtue of Cardiff and Southampton not playing. Johan Berg Gudmundsson starts for the Clarets in place of Jeff Hendrick, who drops to the bench. That's your news for Burnley. As to Leicester, unchanged for the trip to a wet and windy Turf Moor. Victory for Brendan Rodgers' side would give them consecutive Premier League wins for the first time since beating Chelsea and Man City in December. That is just one of the 3 games. Any other glaring team news from the other two?
Yeah, I'm just looking at Bournemouth. Real good side that Bournemouth have put out. Eddie Howe, they are taking on Newcastle at the Vitality Stadium. David Brooks back in. He'll play behind the front two of Joshua King, and a fit again Callum Wilson. He's gone for it as well. Jordan Ibe and Ryan Fraser starting for Bournemouth. As for Newcastle, as you'd expect, a back three, a back five out of possession, of course, a midfield four, and it will be Solomon Rondon leading a lone furrow for Newcastle. They're at the Vitality Stadium. It is Bournemouth against Newcastle. And then finally, our featured match from 7 o'clock. We spoke to John Anderson, our match commentator, a few moments ago. It is West Ham United taking on Huddersfield, rooted at the bottom of that Premier League table. And looking at the side that Manuel Pellegrini has put out, it is an attacking one. Mikel Antonio, Manuel Lanzini, Felipe Anderson, all behind the big number 7, the Austrian, still a West Ham player. It's Marco Arnautovic.
He's off the naughty step again. I think he's back in the good books.
He's
not been flavour of the month with Manuel over the last couple of days. But I prefer, as a West Ham fan, I prefer West Ham when Arnautovic starts.
As opposed to Andy Carroll and Javier Hernandez.
Well, I think Carroll's done and dusted.
Yes,
I think he's gone
think
now. He's got another injury problem. I don't think that. And he's got a contract that runs out in a couple of weeks' time.
Yep.
So I think we're all done there. We've got full time in the first of our Six Nations game. Mark Archer's been watching this one for us.
Yeah, France are victorious against Italy. They've won 25 points to 14. Final try in the final minute. I was trying to describe the try scorer. It was, in fact, Damien Penaud went over. The right winger went over for their third try. Tries also for Huger and the early first try to Antoine Dupont. So good win by France in the end, 25 points to 14. Italy had a shot in the final 10 minutes when France were down to 14 men, but they couldn't quite be clinical enough to find a way across the try line. So the first of today's 3 matches has ended. France 25, Italy 14.
Let's look ahead to other rugby games this afternoon and into this evening as well. I just find it's bizarre on the final day of the Six Nations why all the games aren't kicking off at the same time. I know that you're going to tell me it's something to do with broadcast, but you can't tell me that it doesn't give teams just a little inkling of
what they have to do,
what they need to do.
Yeah, I think it's all down to broadcast, though. So the 3 matches are staggered across kickoff times. Second kickoff of today's 3 matches is at 6:45, so we're not far away from kickoff time. That's in Cardiff, of course. Big match between Wales and Ireland. Wales, Warren Gatland trying to win the Grand Slam and the Six Nations title if they are victorious against Ireland. If Ireland win, and victory for them will mean that the title race gets opened up. That will bring England right into the conversation if they can get past Scotland in the late kickoff at 9 p.m. The Calcutta Cup, 137th version of the Calcutta Cup. England at home to Scotland, and what a match that'll be. Of course, fire and brimstone will come from up north, from the Scots, but can they do enough in the 80 minutes against England, who have been all-powerful? And Scotland haven't won there since the early 80s, 1983 to be in fact, so it's a long time between drinks for the Scots down at Twickenham. So tough ask for that. England under Eddie Jones, well, he's made a couple of changes, four changes in fact. He's recalled the winger Jack Noel, the prop Ben Moon comes back, Henry Slade comes back into the centres, and Mark Wilson comes onto the flank. Let's just have a quick listen to Eddie Jones talking about his team selection for this match against Scotland.
Last week of the tournament, it's an exciting week for us. We're playing against one of our most traditional foes in Scotland for the Calcutta Cup, so we've had a good preparation. We've had a few knocks and bruises we've had to deal with, but the side's going to be in a great state to play against Scotland on Saturday. So we feel Ben Moon will be best to start the game, and Genji did exceptionally well for us last week, will come off the bench, and same with Mark Wilson and Brad Shields. Jack Noel's back to full fitness, so he comes back in the side for Joe Cocker-Singer, who we're very happy with last week, and he'll continue to develop as a very good player for us. Slady comes back in at 13 and reunites with Manu in the centres. Well, Scotland are a difficult side. You know, they're always at you. They play with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of effort. They've got a lot of attacking bows to their game. Finn Russell's an exceptional player at 10. They've got some pace on the outside, so we're going to have to defend really well against them.
One man that has been in good form for Eddie Jones is England, of course, the big, powerful centre, Manu Tuilagi. Tuilagi made his future up this week by re-signing with Leicester Tigers. There was a lot of talk about him going and playing in France, which may have ended his England career. Eddie Jones is delighted that he's going to be playing for Leicester Tigers and also playing for England.
I think that, you know, he's had a smile on his face. He's enjoying playing with the boys. The boys enjoy playing with him. Yeah, he doesn't show his emotions too much, but I'm sure he's glad his future's sorted out. And he doesn't have to get on the Eurostar now.
All in French.
I don't think he'd be too flashy in French.
And in terms of areas of improvement, he was pretty good last week. I mean, where would you rate his performance with some of the others?
It's just that repeated power and his running lines. I think he's getting sharper all the time. You know, for him, it's about his running lines and his timing onto the ball, and I think we're seeing an improvement game by game, and on Saturday I think we'll see his best game.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing Manu against Scotland. Well, this is coming from a Scotland fan. I'm not listening. Looking forward to Manu in his current form at the moment. Bit of a blessing though, no Thokkonen Sanniga. He's not even on the bench. What on earth is going on there after the performance to beat all performances, an announcement onto the international scene last time?
The guy looks like a world beater, doesn't he? I think it's Eddie Jones just putting him back in his place and making sure he stays humble and stays realistic to the situation. But he seems like a no-brainer. But Eddie Jones, what he does have is he has plenty of depth in his squad and can move players in and out of it. But Cocker-Singer does look like a real talent. Big, strong, powerful, quick
one-hand ball.
He just grips it, and he looks like a man against boys, albeit he's a youngster. But Eddie Jones, he's got the team moving, and they're going to have to do what they have to do. All they can do is beat Scotland today and hope that Ireland do them a favour over in Wales in the kickoff coming up soon. But one man though, who has got it all cut out from, is Gregor Townsend. Tough for Gregor. He's got injury hit squad. He's got to go down to England, where they haven't won since '83. Gregor was hardly born then at that stage as well. We'll talk about Chris McCarty, and he's had to make six changes to his team. Sean Maitland comes back into the fresh faces, and they've got three new players in the forward pack. Hamish Watson comes to the pack, which is good. This is Gregor Townsend talking about his team lineup for the match at Twickenham at 9 p.m. this evening.
Yeah, well, a few of those changes have been enforced by injury, but we're glad that players like Sean Maitland have came back from their injury and came back into the side. We have looked to freshen up a couple of positions. Players that have played earlier in the tournament for us, like Ben Toulis, Sam Skinner and Sam Johnson, they come back in. We believe it's a team full of energy, full of players that are in form, that can go down to Twickenham and really take the game to England.
You've seen this, no doubt seen the squad that England have chosen for this weekend. What do you expect from them?
Well, I would say more of the same, but they did change their game against Italy compared to the games that they'd previously played. Before that, it was about power and a kicking game. So power through the way they tackle, strong kick chase, and then when they get the ball back in the opposition half, they use their big runners to make dents in the defence. against Italy, they did change things up and move the ball a lot more, move the ball to width. So it'll be interesting to see what game plan they bring this weekend. But no matter what game plan it is, we know we're up against a quality team.
And what's been the message this week from you to the players, and what do you hope to see from them this weekend?
Well, the key message is to build on the positive aspects of the Wales game, for us to continue to improve, but also in the realisation that the level of performance has to go up from last week to beat England at Twickenham. We have to improve defensively. We will be challenged in that area with the strong runners that England have. And at times at the weekend, it wasn't at the standards we usually set. So that's a big challenge for us on Saturday.
So those are the thoughts of Gregor Townsend as he takes his team down to Twickenham. That's your late kickoff, not for 9 o'clock this evening. Before that, though, we've got a real belter. It's live down here at Barasti. It's on the big screen. There's a real carnival atmosphere here because it is St Patrick's Day weekend. A lot of Irish in for this one. A lot of Welsh in as well, Chris McCullough.
It certainly is. I haven't. We remarked on this. Barasti is absolutely bouncing down here. So if you are looking for somewhere to watch the rugby, obviously there's 20 screens dotted around the venue as well. All the football will be shown. Pop on down. It is a carnival atmosphere. The Irish are out in force, but the Welsh are matching them up as well.
Talking of football, there is football not just from the Premier League, not just from the FA Cup, but also across Europe as well. No more so than La Liga. Real Madrid in action.
Yes, they are indeed. Over to the Spanish capital of Madrid, and Zinedine Zidane is back. Thankfully, no turn-up jeans for Zizou today. I'm not sure if you saw the images of Zizou at his press conference. Absolute rascal. He looked as if he had dressed in the dark. He looked as if he had been taking some style tips from Robbie Greenfield, so he had. Nice to see him in a suit today. Zizou back on the touchline for Real Madrid. Fascinating starting 11 as well. Thibaut Courtois gone, brings back the man that had so much success with Zizou, Keylor Navas. It is a back four. He's brought back Marcelo as well. That is crucial. The biggest talking point, though, he has brought back Isco, jettisoned by Santiago Solari. He was training away from the first team. Zizou's having none of it. The little diminutive magician, he's in there alongside Toni Kroos and Luka Modric. And then his front three, Karim Benzema is a firm favourite of Zizou, is the Frenchman, compatriots of course. He's brought in the young Spaniard Marco Asensio, and despite what you will have read all week long about Zizou and Gareth Bale not getting on, what has he done? He's brought back in Gareth Bale as well. So it is a very attack-minded Real Madrid side. They're up against a good Celta Vigo team, but given the fact that Zizou's back, given the fact that Isco, Asensio and Bale and Marcelo are all back, reinstated into the starting 11, I think Real Madrid will win, and I've got a funny feeling they'll win quite comfortably as well today.
That one's kicking off just at 7:15 this evening, so stay tuned for that. Get yourself down to Barasti to watch all the latest live action. Sampdoria just taken an early first half lead against Sassuolo over in Serie A. The goal going in just after the half hour mark. So Sampdoria leading Sassuolo.
And I can tell you as well, they've just made it 2-0. So Sampdoria having it all their own way. 37 minutes on the clock over there in Italy. Fabio Quagliarella as well, the 36-year-old top goal scorer in Italy this season. Forget Cristiano Ronaldo. It's all about Fabio Quagliarella. He has added a second, so 37 minutes on the clock at Sassuolo, 0 Sampdoria 2.
Right, there's plenty of football, there's plenty of rugby as well. The noise you can hear behind us at the moment is the Principality Stadium. I think they've turned up the volume down here at Barasti tonight, because this is commentary and a half, isn't it?
It is.
It's almost like being in the Principality.
It's absolutely booming. But for good reason. It's packed down here, so they want to keep the natives happy.
It is, and the natives are about to make their way out onto the main picture. It is Ireland against Ireland against Wales. Mark Archer's got the details for us.
Yeah, it's going to be a great clash, this one in Cardiff. It's kicking off in 10 minutes time. We're just seeing the captains, Alan Wynne-Jones for Wales, Rory Best for Ireland, about to leave their respective teams onto the Principality Stadium. And it's a massive match for both teams. Just to run you through the permutations, if Wales win, it means that they will win their 14th consecutive match, which is a national record. They will win the Grand Slam, they will win the Six Nations, and they'll go off to the World Cup later this year and find Fettle. If Ireland can get a victory, it opens the door for England in that late kickoff. Just a bit of team news, Warren Gatland, well, he has an unchanged starting 15. Liam Williams is fit to play at fullback, and it's his 50th and final match as coach in the Six Nations. That's for Warren Gatland. For Ireland, he's up against his Kiwi rival, Joe Smith. Three changes for Joe Smith's team. Tag Byrne comes in for his Six Nations debut. Rob Carney returns at fullback, and Sean O'Brien will also take his place in the flank. Let's just have a quick listen to Warren Gatland talking about the build-up for this match in his final match as coach in the Six Nations for Wales.
We've spoken a week about embracing it and not running away from it, and you get opportunities that come along in life, and you've got to take them with both hands. And said to that group of players, you know, you may never get a chance like this again, and you don't want to let those opportunities pass you by. And I haven't seen a group of players this motivated before, this excited about playing in a Grand Slam game, and you know, wanting to win and wanting to put that jersey on and play for themselves and their families, and in particular Wales as a whole.
That's Warren Gatland talking about his Wales team taking on Ireland. It's the final match for Warren Gatland in the Six Nations as coach. It's also the final match for Joe Smith as the Irish coach in the Six Nations. Of course, both coaches will take their teams to the World Cup. It's also rumoured to be the final match for the Irish captain in the Six Nations, Rory Best. This is what he had to say ahead of the clash.
It will be, I think, when the time comes around. But at the minute, we're very much focused on a game. And look, this place has been very special to me in various games we played, and it's been very tough in other games, but it's a fantastic place to play rugby. And I think to have my first Six Nations cap against Wales in the old Lansdowne Road and to finish it off here, it will be a very emotional day. But I think we need to put all that aside and make sure that we deliver a performance that shows that we're taking steps forward.
All the permutations and combinations of who can win the championship, does that come into your thinking at all?
No, I think when you look at the three teams in contention, we're probably the least likely. So what we want to do is produce a performance and a result. We want to go and win this game. And look, we'll see what happens afterwards. And you know, our fate is in, if we happen to get a win here, our fate is in England or Scotland's hands, it would be, in the game after ours. But look, I would imagine any team involved in this aren't really thinking about it. They're just thinking about the process, making sure you play well, and you'll see, look, this is a place that if you think about anything other than going out to perform to win a game, you know, you're going to be in big trouble.
Whatever the weather, there's always a cracking atmosphere here. Looking forward to it?
Yeah, it will be. Look, I think there's obviously a lot at stake for them, and we know how great an atmosphere this can be. You know, whenever we've came here and they've maybe come off the back of a couple of losses in the championship, and with them with four wins in a row, looking for a Grand Slam, I can only imagine the atmosphere is going to be very close to the one that we played in the World Cup in 2015, which was incredible. You know, you can't hear the person next to you, but it's the sort of occasion you want to play in.
The Irish National Anthem ringing out from the Principality Stadium, and a very emotional Keith Wood as well, giving his thoughts ahead of... Never sings the anthem, does he?
Rory Best, you mean?
Of Rory Best, what I'm talking about, Keith Wood as
well. We're talking about great Irish sportsman, Rory Best, yeah.
If where's Keith Wood? He's not been on our list, has he? Add him to the list, Chris.
Yeah, did retire 10 years ago, but a great British and Irish line. Yeah, it's an emotional day there, and the weather does look poor in Wales. It is raining visibly. The roof is remaining open. That's Wales's choice. They wanted the roof open. I'm not sure what the tactical thinking was there. Joe Smith and Ireland wanted it shut. Maybe that would make for a better match, but it is raining. Weather will play a massive part in this match, and that will also suit. There'll be a lot of kicking, I'm thinking, a lot of pressure put on the guys under those high kicks.
This is going to be very special. This is the Welsh National Anthem, very poignant, as Wales gun for that Grand Slam in the Six Nations 2019. This will be belted out not just at the Principality, not just across Cardiff, but across the entire country, and of course all those Welsh fans watching on from around the globe. Keep an eye on this one. It is going to be an absolute classic of a game. It's Wales against Ireland. It's live on the big screen down here at Barasti. This is the Grill. We've got another 10 minutes of us as we keep you up to date with what's happening in the rugby and, of course, other live scores.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
And we open this final segment of the show with a word from His Royal Highness, the Prince of
Duke of Cambridge.
The Duke of Cambridge, soon to be... Will he become Prince of Wales or not once his dad moves on or not?
I think he does, right?
Does he?
Yeah.
Someone's got to be, haven't they?
Absolutely.
Anyway, here's the patron of Welsh rugby. What's he been saying?
He'd say he'd like to pay particular tribute to Warren Gatland. It's sad that he'll be his last Six Nations with Wales. Also to Alan Wynne-Jones and Rory Best. What a phenomenal tournament they've had. So good to see English royalty down there at Welsh royalty down at the Principality Stadium.
Yeah, not a bad day out, that's for sure. Right, we've got three games kicking off for you at 7 o'clock in the Premier League. If a goal goes in any of these, then we will get the details for you. We're going to focus on West Ham against Huddersfield. We heard from John Little earlier on that he expects this to be a home win.
It should be. It absolutely should be. West Ham starting the day in ninth. Huddersfield starting the day rooted to the bottom of the league. They've not scored in six away games. As he said, they've not scored away from home in 2019, Tom. If West Ham don't win this today, then I will eat my hat. If I was wearing a hat, that of course being the case. But yeah, West Ham surely a home win.
The only thing I would say about this is West Ham have a tendency to take teams below them a little for granted.
Yeah, I take that point. Yeah, if Huddersfield were to score first, then you'd expect. But looking at that West Ham side, I just don't see how Huddersfield can keep out West Ham. Arnautovic, Antonio, Lanzini as well. And I've got a breakaway. What a start for one team and one team only.
Oh, it's the home team, Wales. They're straight from the kickoff. They've won the line out. They've put pressure on with the rolling ball. It's a kick and chase. And I'm just trying to see who scored it. Hadley Parks has gone over. He's regathered the kick. Bundled over here, Wales 5, Ireland 0 within a minute and a half. It's a fantastic start for the team in red. It's his fourth try in 15 matches for the man from Auckland, Hadley Parks.
Said they were up for it. Nice little moment as well before this game. Principality, 87,000 at the Principality, around about that. And you could hear a pin drop. A minute silence for all those victims over in New Zealand over the last 24 hours. So nice to see sport coming together for a very emotional tribute to those lost.
No, indeed. Yeah, it's a wonderful kick through. Almost a trick kick off the side of the foot. And then it's been gathered mid-air by Hadley Parks. He's basically gone over uncontested. And it's a wonderful start for Warren Gatland's men. They lead 5-0. It's a very kickable conversion, so I expect it to be 7-0 very shortly with Gareth Anscombe, also from Auckland, will take the conversion.
We're talking Premier League at the moment. Talked about the West Ham Huddersfield game. That's our feature game, but you also get the goals as they go in. Burnley against Leicester. Which way do you see this one going, Chris McCarty?
Brendan Rodgers got that 3-1 victory last weekend, didn't he? And, you know, he lost his opening game. He bounced back with a victory. You heard it from John as well. Leicester looking for their second for the first time since what? Chelsea and Man City, two wins on the bounce. Oh, it's a difficult one. I think a score draw in this one. I think Sean Dyche, Burnley are always decent on their own patch at Turf Moor. Leicester City under Brendan Rodgers, I'm intrigued by it. I'm a huge Brendan Rodgers fan. I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves. He certainly doesn't from the majority of Liverpool Football Club fans, that's for sure. But I think a score draw in that one, Burnley against Leicester. And then the other game, Bournemouth against Newcastle.
Newcastle get thumped, yeah. Yeah. Newcastle to get absolutely thumped.
Yeah, maybe not thumped, but I do fancy Bournemouth. Ah, see what you have. one or two Newcastle fans. Ah, it makes sense now. I do actually, and I'll whisper this one quiet, I fancy Bournemouth to just maybe have a little bit too much for Newcastle today.
We've also got some great upstanding members of the Leeds Supporters Club who've made their way up here. They have asked you to check your phone, please, Chris McCarty. I'm not sure if we're going to put that on air or not, but we'll wait and see. 4001 if you want to send your thoughts through on that one. That's not the only football, though. We haven't really talked enough about the FA Cup action to look forward to a little later on. Man City at Swansea. Now, this is a club that you know a lot about, Swansea, yes. With some good contacts, good friends down there.
Indeed.
At the moment as well.
Yeah, my mate.
Upset, go on, got to be an upset.
No,
go on.
Unfortunately not. Leicester, Swansea are a little bit too open for Man City, I feel. I think Graham Potter, the manager, my good friend Kyle as well, who's the head of recruitment at Swansea, they will be, well, elated that they're welcoming the best team in the land in Manchester City. There's no doubt about that. I think it will be a bit of an education. If Swansea were to score first, listen, you never know, but I think Manchester City, no matter what team Pep Guardiola puts out this evening, I think they will come through this one. Swansea, a young side, the youngest side by a country mile in the Championship. No money to spend down there. Graham Potter has worked magic. So he has, and pun very much intended, with Potter and magic involved. But I think Man City will win that. And then, as you say, later on, it's Wolves against Manchester United. A difficult one, that, for United.
Well, see, this is interesting, isn't it? It's 11:55 kickoff here in the UAE, 7:55 back in the UK. Wolves against Manchester United. Wolves been going along nicely throughout the season. Manchester United, obviously, have had that extraordinary start under Ole Gunnar, but How rare is it to come into a match off the back of a defeat?
Exactly that, and that will be the interesting point in all of this. They were good, in fairness, United at Arsenal, but they came away with a 2-0 defeat. It was a positive performance, but again, Wolves, you look at what they've done this season. They've drawn with City on their own pitch. They've beaten Liverpool in the Emirates FA Cup on their own pitch. They've gone to United, drawn 1-1. They've gone to Arsenal, drawn 1-1. They've gone to Chelsea, drawn 1-1. And they've gone to Tottenham at Wembley and won 3-1. They are no mugs, Wolves. This is a difficult game. Make no bones about it. This is a tough one for Manchester United this evening. It should be an absolute barnstormer. I'm expecting goals in that one. Flip a coin. United maybe just to edge it, but it wouldn't surprise me if Wolves cause an upset and they book their place in the semi-finals at United's expense.
Let's talk cricket if we can, because a couple of developments. Let's go to the live cricket first and foremost. Sri Lanka in action against South Africa. Where do we stand, Mark Archer?
Yeah, it's the fifth and final one-day international. Both teams trying to get their games in good shape ahead of the World Cup in the United Kingdom beginning in May. Sri Lanka have batted first. They've been bowled out in 49.3 overs, three balls shy of the 50 overs for 225. A disappointing score for Sri Lanka, who haven't been great in this one-day series, to be honest. So 225. So South Africa will come into bat, and they will need 226 for victory. We also should say quickly, Pakistan Super League, the final will be tomorrow. It was the eliminator final yesterday where Peshawar Zalmi defeated Islamabad United by 48 runs, and they will take on tomorrow. It's Peshawar taking on the Quetta Gladiators in the final of the PSL tomorrow. That's back in Pakistan at Karachi, 6 p.m. UAE time. Both teams were the best two teams in the competition this year. They won 7 out of their 10 matches, and so they were the top two teams going head-to-head in the final of the PSL tomorrow in Karachi, Tom.
That's what's going on tomorrow. I just want a quick word as well, if I can, about Australian cricket at the moment. Australia winning that ODI series against India, against the odds as well. And just, dare I say it, Mark Archer, the inklings of a bit of form coming in to the World Cup.
Yes, and now they've got the interesting dilemma. Wonderful win. They were 2-0 down in that series in India, and they won back and won the last three ODIs. They've now got the availability of Steve Smith and David Warner to add to the mix, who are coming to the UAE to do some reintegration with the team. And I don't know quite what that means, but they're going to come and practice and see where they're at. And they've got their two, probably arguably their best batsmen coming back. Usman Khawaja has been in great form for Australia, and they've just found a bit of form and a bit of consistency to win in India against India is no mean feat. So you've got to give them some credit there. And Australia will be those dark horses come World Cup time. So good win for the Australian cricket team, the Baggy Greens, over in India.
Plenty of cricket to look forward to. No shortage of cricketers in and around town with a number of the teams over here for pre-season. Is there another franchise tournament coming up as well or not? Got PSL. Have we done the T10 yet? We had the T10?
Had IPL. The T10. T10's done. IPL's about to start, though.
IPL.
But not here.
No, there was some talk, remember, because of the election, but no, they're going.
So all the franchise stuff is done and dusted now, is it here? Because we've had the Bangladesh Super League, didn't we?
Yeah, we've had that.
We had the Afghan Super League. We had the Afghan Super League. Yeah, we've had that.
PSL, T10 cricket. Yeah, we're done.
So we're done and dusted for just a lot of pre-season. I think a lot of clubs are coming over for pre-season. So stay tuned for details on that one. It's about it from us. We're going to hand over to the team from Talksport in just a few moments' time, and let's get a quick update from the rugby. Mark Archer.
Yeah, action just underway. 7 minutes gone in Cardiff. Wales 7, Ireland 0. Early penalty after 1 minute to Hadley Parks, the centre. It was converted by Gareth Anscombe. It's been a good match so far, though. Ireland came straight back into it. Wales had a defensive scrum, and then Ireland pushed them off the ball and have now got some field territory, trying to put some pressure again on the Welsh scrum. And if Ireland can get some forward dominancy, it will be a big factor in this match. The last couple of times these two teams have come head-to-head, The Irish forward pack has absolutely dominated Wales. And if that happens today, the Welsh will be in for a long day. But currently, 8 minutes gone in Cardiff. Wales 7, Ireland 0.
Enjoy it. And thanks so much indeed to all those that have been getting involved with our greatest Irish sportsmen, women, teams, icons, brands of all time. Had some great feedback on that one on the occasion of St. Patrick's Day weekend celebrations. Couple of others that came through from listeners out there that I hadn't thought about. Stephen Roach won. He didn't win that. He was a cyclist, wasn't he? He won a couple of stages of one of the Tour de France's at least. He was one of the sort of the leading lights for European cycling for many years. The other keen, we haven't talked about him enough. Robbie.
Robbie Keane, yes. In fact, absolutely, there'd be a good argument to be had that he is Ireland, Republic of Ireland's greatest ever footballer. Talk what you will about Roy Keane from a club domestic point of view. Robbie Keane's his country's all-time top goal scorer, scored bagfuls of goals. Great shout.
Steve Collins was another name that came
through. Steve Collins, the boxer. Absolutely, yeah. He was the man that the Nigel Benn, Chris Eubank era. What a boxer. Hard as nails, Steve Collins.
And I'm going to finish the proceedings on a controversial point, only because I know the opinions of both of my two panellists alongside me. We're going to hand over to TalkSport in a minute, but surely, Chris McCarthy, you've got to be with me on this one. Maybe not so Mark Archer. Greatest Irish sporting icon of all time, Alex Higgins.
Alex Higgins. Hey. Now we're talking.
The Hurricane.
What a genius that man was. He was the flawed genius, I think we can say. George Best on the football field. Alex Higgins was what to snooker what George Best was to football, no doubt about it.
And Mark Archer, great before show. You can even open your mouth about snooker's not a sport, dance is not a sport, it is, all right? Because it's 57 minutes past the hour, which means we're going to go to the football, all right? Sold?
No worries.
Good evening, Mark Archer. Enjoy the game.
Thank you, Thomas, and we'll see you soon.
Indeed we will. And to you, Chris McCarthy, I thank you very much indeed. Enjoy your sport.
Thank you very much, Tom. Looking forward to watching this rugby game now.
Stay tuned, because what you got coming up, you've got live coverage of West Ham against Huddersfield. That's your live feature game, but also all the goals from the other games as they go in live here on Dubai I-103.8, courtesy of the team that you will hear next. Talk Sport. Goodbye.
Let's go.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.